AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. It was kind of a go-nowhere day in the grains with wheat mix, corn slightly higher, and soybean slightly lower. There was some product spreading between meal and oil, but not enough to dominate trade. The cattle complex continued to claw back early week losses, and front-month hogs are ready to make a move on the February highs.
Live from the 4th of 4 via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we chat with Allison Thompson from the Money Farm. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Yeah, the 4th of 4 in 24.
That's right.
Huh? I added on there.
I love it. I love it.
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
Really good. Really good. Good. You know, I was just thinking, for no particular reason at all.
Well, we do that from time to time.
I need to be thinking about a Missouri fishing license.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, of course you
do. I should be licensed down here now.
Absolutely.
lots of places to fish.
Well, as a matter of fact, I even know a couple of guys with a pond.
Is that right?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. You know, that'd be a great spot to meet up sometime.
We could load up on a mess of bluegill sandwiches at the end of the day. Huh?
Oh, man.
This is coming together. This is happening.
It's coming together in a hurry. Absolutely. I mean, when it's 44 degrees and cloudy outside on the 4th of April, you know, your mind starts wandering to sunshiny days and fishing in a farm pond, baby.
Imagine if it were 56 degrees and sunshiny, how you'd feel. Huh?
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's intense. It's intense down here, bro.
Well, it is starting especially the way the weather was earlier. Good grief.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of luck fishing earlier. I just got to get back out there. It's got to happen.
That's right. You had a great day there a couple weeks ago, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Crushing some crappies.
Man, that was a lot of fun. All right. We have got a conversation coming up with Allison Thompson from the Money Farm. We'll find out what's going up around Fargo before we get into a conversation about the markets. And, of course, Oliver coming up here real quick. We got to talk cattle trade.
And
see what he thinks of the volatility in the cattle market, all right? Okay, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Sure thing. Well, export sales of wheat in the week ended March 28 totaled just 16,000 metric tons for delivery in the current marketing year. Increases were reported to China and Mexico, but those were countered by cancellations by South Korea and unknown destinations. Export sales for the 24-25 marketing year hit 262,000 metric tons. That topped trade expectations, but did little to support wheat prices. May soft red winter wheat futures opened steady, rallied to spike resistance at 560, then turned back to close just below the opening range. May hard red winter wheat futures also, once again, rejected trade above 580. July HRW wheat 1 penny higher on the day, yes, 573. July SRW wheat down 0.75 cents to 571.5. July spring wheat closed at 654.75. That one's up 7 cents today.
Yeah, Allison's got some thoughts on the spring wheat market. We're going to get to that coming up in a bit.
Good, good. Well, export sales of corn in the week ended March 28 totaled 948,000 metric tons. Chip, that was down 20% from the four-week average and at the low end of trade expectations. May corn futures posted a mid-range open and closed near session highs. The weather forecast from Mato Grosso do Sul, Paraná, and other Brazilian safrinha corn production areas has turned dry for the near term, but does include some rains for the first half of next week. Brazilian weather will have an increasing influence on day-to-day price action in corn from this point forward. May corn futures 3.5 cents higher, 4.35 1/4. July corn up 2.5 cents today, 4.47 1/2. December corn futures closed at 4.73 1/4. That's up 2 cents today, Chip.
Yeah, this corn market, I want to kind of get excited about the fact that we were higher again today, but it just feels like it's slow. It's lacking momentum in here. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to Allison about it.
Export sales of soybeans weekended March 28 of just over 194,000 metric tons were at the low end of trade expectations, down more than half from the four-week average. USDA this morning did report the sale of just over 154,000 metric tons of old crop beans for delivery to Mexico. Soybean meal export sales of just over 200,000 metric tons beat the four-week average by 10%. Bean oil sales, very light, just 3,100 metric tons.
Yeah.
May beans opened steady and tested resistance at yesterday's high before falling back to close just below the opening range. May beans 2.25 cents lower, 1180. July beans down 3 cents, 1192 1/4. November beans closed at 1183 3/4. That's down a penny on the day.
Encouraging to see Mexico in on some old crop beans. That was their value buying, and there's value in beans. That's what it tells me.
Cotton export sales, 84,900 running bales, weekended March 28, up 4% from the four-week average. July cotton down 161 points on the day, 88.57. On your livestock, beef export sales, 18,700 metric tons, up 53% from the four-week average. South Korea and Japan at the top of the list of buyers. Heavyweight choice graded boxed beef prices slipped back under $300 per hundredweight this morning, but movement was very good at just over 100 loads. April live cattle, 55 cents higher, 181.47 1/2. June futures up 25 cents, 175.85, and April feeder futures 175 higher, 242.70. And on the snout side, export sales of pork weekend of March 28, 28,700 metric tons, down 24% from the four-week average. April hogs, 37.5 cents higher, 88.35, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Oliver Sloat, Blue Line Futures. Hey, Oliver, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Chip. Yourself?
Okay. What a day on Monday. This cattle market's still trying to recover, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the markets, we've seen a lot of volatility to start the week. I think part of that was probably, you know, the start of a new month, the start of a new quarter. And today it just kind of seemed like we're catching our breath almost across the board, except for the outside markets are starting to wake up again here this afternoon. But yeah, cattle, you know, I really would have liked to see a better relief rally after selling off so hard to start the week. Yep. A lot of times if it's quote unquote fake news, you want to see buyers ready, willing, and able to step in. We really haven't got that yet. So that still has me a little bit concerned. The cash market is still hanging in there. So that's a little bit of a silver lining. But all in all, I think we've talked about it for the last couple of weeks. The seasonality of it doesn't line up. You got some outside market things going on that could shake things up as well. So it'll be interesting. I hope we can get a little bit more ground to the upside, but I'm not going to hold my breath for anything significant.
Yeah, we're still in the lower half of Monday's trading range. That's not very encouraging at all for this for cattle trade going in to the end of the week, except for the cash market. Like you said, if cash can hang in there, that gives us some hope. Thoughts on corn?
Well, corn, kind of like you said, I was kind of in the camp that maybe this is a bear trap. We had the nice move higher on Thursday, sold off Monday, Tuesday, took out those lows from last week, and we're able to stage some recovery yesterday. We staged some recovery today, but the conviction just wasn't there. I'm still optimistic that we can get back towards the top end of the range, but as with your sentiment, it sounds like I really would have liked to see more upside than we saw today.
Yeah, it just felt half-hearted. I'd like to see a full effort in there. All right, thank you, Oliver. We'll talk to you later,
Chip.
Oliver Sloat, Blue Line Futures. Coming up next, let's get into a conversation with Allison Thompson from the Money Farm up in Fargo. She is next here on AgriTalk.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us today. Thursday afternoon already. Hard to believe. Week is flying by on us. Let's get started in this conversation with Allison Thompson from The Money Farm. Allison, it's great to talk with you again. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Same to you. Good to talk to you again. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Glad you're here. How's things up there in the Fargo area? Everything kind of look pretty much on time seasonally, or what's going on?
Oh, we've had a great winter. We've had spring for most of the winter, to be honest with you. Not a whole lot of snow, and if we did get some, it really didn't stick around very long. So over the last, month or so, a lot of guys have been kind of itching at when we're going to get in. There has been some field activity south of us, south of Fargo, but here further north, I think a lot of guys will start moving here in the next week. So definitely a change of pace compared to what we've had the last couple of years, especially last year. Spring just never wanted to come. This year's a lot different. So they're definitely getting ready to get stuff moving. And I think we'll have a pretty good window this year. We'll at least get the crop planted in a timely manner. And then hopefully them and the markets can start moving on to some bigger and better things.
Yeah. Yeah. Year ago, Allison, you still had 4 foot of snow on the ground up there.
Yeah, we had a lot of snow. We never really got a spring last year. It just turned automatically just one day. All of a sudden we were in summer and we had some really warm days. So and then it got dry after that. So who knows what this summer is going to end up being like. But as of right now, it looks really nice. But, you know, being a Midwesterner, we think we're going to pay for it at some point. We just wonder when. So
that's right. Yeah. That's right. The prospective plantings report, when you saw the numbers for North Dakota, and it's always interesting to look at North Dakota because they can move farmers move acres around from crop to crop. Did anything surprise you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a few things did, to be honest with you. The report did differ a lot from what I'm hearing from not only producers up here, but also seed companies as well, as far as what's going to be going into the ground this spring. Yep. Spring wheat acres surprised me. They came in higher than expected. And that's kind of what we're known for up here is what spring wheat's doing and what's going to happen there. And obviously that's been thrown into the mix. And with prices being beat up since the first of the year, to say the least, it has been a hot topic. So, and being in a swing acre state, a lot of those acres can be moved around to other things, especially, you know, further west, there's a lot of talk of durum, there's a lot of talk of canola, a lot of specialties and edible bean acres being thrown into the mix. And talking with seed guys too, I just don't see a whole lot of spring wheat acres being planted this year. And honestly, since the report, I guess the market's doing what it needs to. They got higher acres and they don't want to get the acres planted. So they are working on making sure that they don't. And honestly, if markets continue where they are, I think they're going to have a hard time getting any kind of acre numbers above what guys need to do for rotational purposes at this point. Okay. So, and corn acres could be the same way. I was shocked to see lower corn acres, to be honest with you. I thought for sure we'd see them higher. And again, swing acre state. So between Minnesota and North Dakota, I've been hearing a lot of guys looking at planting some more corn. And even seed companies too, having record sale years for corn seed going out the door. So I have a feeling this might be the low number that we see for corn this year, especially if we get a good spring up here. I have a feeling that we're going to see a lot of corn go in the ground.
Okay. Man, that's a lot to think about real quick there, no doubt. talk to me about the way that the spring wheat market has been trading. It's not that different than what's happening in the winter wheat markets, is it?
No, not too much. They've all kind of been moving in tandem for the most part. Today, though, Minneapolis actually was the leader to the upside. Was really good to see finally. But we made new lows early in the week, and again, likely due to the acreage report. But today we had weekly export sales, and actually, hard red spring wheat has been kind of the shining star of wheat exports. They're running well above USDA estimates at this point for both old crop and new crop. So that could be something we see the USDA adjust in future reports. So there's obviously demand there. So if that continues, and including new crop here going forward, obviously good to see, but it could start to actually compete for acres. And we saw a good follow through even after yesterday. You know, we made new lows, but then we came back and printed a reversal higher on the daily charts. And then we saw good follow through today on some good export business. And it's been the typical buyers, usual buyers buying spring wheat. But that's good enough.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're happy to see it. So maybe the market's finally realizing, you know, there is something to this market. Can't go down forever. So maybe we will see it start to compete and buy some acres here yet.
Okay. Is there still some flexibility on acres up there or decisions been made? I mean, like in your farm, on your farm, Allison, mm-hmm. Are there still some acres that can move from crop to crop?
They could, but I think for the most part, we're kind of set in. Course, it just depends what kind of spring we get.
If
the weather turns around too, that definitely changes things. But I think guys have a good picture now of what they're going to put in the ground just because they've had time to think about it. We've had a good spring so far. And if it all rolls according to plan, I think guys will be sticking to their plans this year. But again, all subject to change if the weather switches around.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, every time you say something like that, I think about 2019, even. What a horrible year that was. I'm not hoping for anything like that, but it's a good example of, you know, we always think about dry being the weather thing to worry about. 2019, mm-hmm. it was just wet on wet in mm-hmm. the planting season. So,
exactly. And we're by no means out of the woods yet. April can be a very volatile month up here for weather. And we've all seen snow in April, heavy snows in April. It's definitely possible. And like I said, given the winter we've had, it wouldn't surprise us that we're going to pay for it at some point, but I hope it gets it over with sooner than later if it's going to do it, because I know a lot of guys want to start getting in the field here, and we've had a nice break in weather and some warm temperatures here in the next week forecast, so it looks good.
Yep.
It really does.
Good. Okay. Anything mm-hmm. else from that acreage intentions report that caught your attention, or even from the quarterly grain stocks, Allison?
Yeah, well, there too, on the quarterly grain stock side, it was absolutely supportive for corn. We haven't seen corn really react to it, unfortunately, since. And maybe the market's aware that the USDA is going to be forced to make some changes in next week's USDA report. And it may be just a non-event right now until we see what the USDA does. I think they're going to be forced to make some adjustments to demand, increasing some usage along the lines. But will it be anything earth-shattering? I don't know. The USDA is definitely a little bit slow on making anything look too good. So they might not do any more than what, you know, the trade's expecting at this point. And other than that, I mean, soybeans came in a little bit higher than the trade was expecting. That's not surprising. They could definitely lower exports next week. And on the wheat side, they came in hot, a little bit higher than the trade was expecting as well. And we know exports have been kind of lacking, but, you know, getting some supportive wheat exports on a weekly basis may keep that slow. They might not just make any change. That might be bullish enough for wheat exchanges come next week.
Okay. Okay. On corn for next week's supply and demand report, the adjustments on the demand side, where do you see them making those?
I would have to say it'll probably be in exports. They've been obviously running ahead of pace needed by the USDA. Census. So I think that's where we're going to see it.
Well, mm-hmm. and the census numbers are coming in above the export inspections numbers, right?
Yeah, they are.
Big time.
So there definitely needs to be some adjustments there. But it's been something that's been talked about for quite a while, that the USDA needs to account for this. It's something that the market's been knowing, but just seeing it in print, I think, from the USDA would be a good thing. And looking at the charts, I mean, we've definitely fallen back since last week's good rally up. We're back to the bottom end of that range. like you said earlier, but we are at least moving in the right direction, and hopefully the market just bites on to that number next week, and hopefully it gives us a good move higher. But yeah, I think that, and also ethanol grind has been doing really good too, exceptional here again this last week, and going into the summer, demand going up, crude oil prices going up, it definitely should help our biofuel markets as well.
Yeah boy, there's a lot of anticipation for the biofuels markets, both on soybeans and corn up in your area, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. We've had corn ethanol being a pretty big thing here since that boom happened. And now we're getting another boom with some crush plants coming on board. We are having a couple in the area, and it's definitely going to change the way guys market soybeans around here. You know, a lot of talk on when we're going to start seeing that start to affect some local prices and things like that. But I have a feeling it's going to be a longer process than maybe what they think. Guys are used to not having to hold their soybeans, so it's going to change the way they market. And that could take some time to evolve, okay, too, especially when you're competing with corn storage.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, I want to talk about that just a little bit more, how it might change how they market those soybeans. Man, that went by really fast, Allison. When we come back, fund positioning. Let's talk some inflation and run through your most likely scenario for the next 3 months.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes. For July, HRW wheat futures were a penny higher, 573. July SOW wheat down 0.75 cents to 571.5. May corn futures 3.5 cents higher on the day, 435.25. December corn futures closed at 473.25, up 2 cents today. May soybean futures were 2.25 cents lower at 1180. November beans closed at 1183.75, down a penny today. July cotton was down 161 points to 88.57. Livestocks, April fat cattle, 55 cents higher, 181.47.5. April feeders, $1.75 higher, 242.70. And April lean hogs, 37.5 cents higher on the day at 88.35. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back. We're in the middle of a conversation with Allison Thompson, the Money Farm. I'm your host, Chip. So, Allison, at the end of the conversation, or at the end of the last segment, we were getting into a conversation about how biofuels might be adjusting how beans are marketed going forward. Because, you know, down here, I called it the ethanol formation forever. Carrying the market. Carrying the corn market was the ethanol formation, because the ethanol plants were paying you to store corn until they needed it. Number one, I wonder, and would assume, that is going to happen at some point for soybeans up in your part of the world. But then there's this, too. Are producers starting to get ready for that oilseed demand by, like, setting up their rotations so that they can go heavier on oil seeds?
I don't think necessarily, okay. Not right now. It might be something that'll probably be more in effect, especially if they can prove that they can make some more money planting beans and doing some other oil seeds if these plants come on board. You know, basis for beans up here is historically a normal year. It's nothing great. We can see a dollar under and even more than that on beans. So it would be a big deal if we can get a better basis from these crush plants. And if they can prove that and do that year in, year out for us and make that, a bigger thing, I think the basis move could switch up rotations longer term. But again, we're kind of in the swing acre spot here too. Mm-hmm. So if something else is more feasible or we have an interesting spring, it's all subject to change as well. So it could affect a wider area probably than they expect, in a 200, 300, 400 mile radius. I mean, if you get a decent basis, it definitely pays to haul. And that's something new that growers need to get accustomed to up here as more get rolling.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point. Great point. Okay, talk to me about the funds and how they're positioned in the grain markets right now and what kind of influence that is having on the markets going forward.
Yeah, well, the funds are still sitting on large net short positions. They've definitely come off of their records, but we're by no means out of the woods yet. So far, any rally has been short-lived. We haven't been able to maintain one. Last Thursday is a perfect example. And since then, obviously, our reports come out on Friday, and the numbers in that report of commitment of traders is as of Tuesday. So even this week, as of Tuesday, we were selling this thing off yet pretty ugly. So I'm assuming that they're adding to their short positions here again this week. So that's what we have to overcome. We need a substantially good close across the board in all three grains and across some points of resistance to really prove that the funds are starting to move out. But until then, honestly, they're going to continue to make money playing the same game they have been doing. And that's just providing short covering rallies. And I think farmers in general, too, if you have old crop bushels or even wanting to make new crop sales, we've kind of become accustomed to that trend, too. You're taking advantage of any short-term rallies to move some bushels, and that's about it. So, again, it's the time of year, though, too. It's hard to be really bearish commodities at this point in the year going into the growing season when the crop isn't even in the ground yet. So I do think that their position will eventually change. We just need a catalyst to really start that movement. And who knows what that will be. It could be something with weather. It could be outside markets. It could be, some black swan geopolitical event. Who knows? But eventually they will jump ship. They will change. And that would definitely influence our prices and definitely give us a decent rally. I just hope guys don't get greedy when markets do turn. I hope they take good advantage of it and use it, the opportunity to get a good chunk of new crop sold.
Yeah, yeah. I agree that at some point the funds have to get out. But so far, the funds have been showing great respect for rule number one. And rule number one is if you've got a winning position on, you defend it. And so they're winning on a short position. So anytime we see any kind of strength come in, they're right there and they're still willing sellers, aren't they?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Their number one job is to make money, and it's definitely been a moneymaker. I guess we should have all jumped on their ship at the beginning of the year when they started getting short. But hindsight's always 20/20. But eventually there will be something that will switch it. So, they're long in other markets that have started to waver. Cattle is one of them. Some of the soft commodities, they've been extremely strong. And outside market movement's going to come into play too. If fears of inflation start coming back, we will start seeing some movement and some buying into some safer havens or hedges against inflation, things like that, all could play into it as well. So we're not out of the woods yet. We could see them continue to play the game, but eventually it's going to run out. Eventually they're going to want to get out and while things are still good, and it could be a fast and fierce rally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You jumped right into the middle of a conversation that we've been having here on AgriTalk, and that is the ag commodities response to what appears to be some inflation in the other commodity markets. Feels like eggs are getting left behind by the outside markets, doesn't it?
Yeah. I know. They kind of picked up and went, and here we sit with grains on lows. But I think there are some things starting to change. And we've seen that with some outside markets, especially, you know, stocks have been hanging in there, but they are starting to waver. Gold's been a key indication of that. That's continued to make new highs. And typically that has been known as being a gauge, or not a gauge, but an indicator of inflation, crude prices. And interestingly, corn and wheat typically follow that too. Lags a little bit, but typically follows it. So next week we're going to get fresh CPI data. So if that does end up showing inflation coming back, we're probably on the right track, you know. But if gold's a gauge, we'll probably see inflation starting to come back into markets. And inflation honestly did support our grains. You know, when it peaked, our grains peaked in 22. And since then, we've been on a downturn. So if inflation is going to start coming back in, I think that we will see some inflation come into our grain markets and give us a good boost. You know, it's kind of a second wave. A lot of comparisons back to the late 70s, 80s, when they went through that mess. You just don't know. Depends how the Feds start doing things going forward. You know, it's interesting to hear how the narrative changed. I mean, we were talking about six interest rate cuts, what, 3 months ago? Oh, and now we're talking three. And those could disappear as well when it's all said and done. So absolutely, I'll believe it when I see it. Until then, inflation's still on the table in my book.
Yes. Yeah. And that, which gives us an opportunity to see that alone, that right there alone, could be enough incentive to get some of the funds to move out of those short positions. Okay. Your thought process on most likely scenarios for the corn market, soybean market, wheat market over the next couple of months. And what do you want to, how much of an urgency are you feeling to get downside price protection in place in the grains?
You know, for old crop, it's really tough, especially for corn and wheat. I don't think anyone's interested in protecting old crop prices here for corn and wheat. It's really hard to protect 430 corn and below $7 spring wheat. So with that said, you know, I think if you're going to spend money on protection on those two crops, you need to start looking at new crop. And we have had a decent rally off the lows. So I think that you could buy some short-term puts. I've been using short-dated puts on corn, and I don't want to spend a lot of money on them. And honestly, on all three grains, I wouldn't spend a ton of money protecting your downside here. Given the time of year, we typically see a spring rally. I don't know what's going to be the catalyst of it this year. You know, typically it is weather, and there are some things popping up that could give us a weather market going forward. So it's hard to, like I said, it's hard to be bullish or bearish this time of year. I think there's definitely some moves upward that we're probably going to see, but we can't get greedy either. So I've been actually recommending some courage calls on corn and soybeans, you know, buying some calls that are a little ways out of the money. So if we do get a pop and a rally, you're at least long on the board, you know, to give you some encouragement to make those sales while still being long on paper. So there's a few different ways that I guess I've been looking at it, but everybody's risk is differently. So just make sure you have orders in place. Markets always seem to get busy when the guys are the busiest in the field. So with that being said, I just make sure you have some working orders in, leave them and forget them and hope they fill. You get done with planting and they don't, let's reevaluate it. There's many different things we can do from there. But that would be my starting point, I guess. But yeah, absolutely. Just, you know, give me a call and I can give you a few different strategies of what we're working with too.
Awesome. Awesome. Those out of the money calls have got to be fairly cheap right now, aren't they? For the courage
calls? They are. Yeah, they are. And, you know, I'd just be going out to July using some July short dated. I mean, you could get somewhere close to $5, even a $4.80 for under 10 cents. So, you know, and that's a very good starting point to start making some sales. You know, be happy with that. You're getting over $4 cash, even down up here where our basis isn't that great. So I think those would be some points where I think I should start making some sales, but you can see it along the board there at that point too. So kind of keeps your upside open in case we see a weather rally ensue. And again, those go off the board, you know, end of June. So you have options there too. You could let them turn into futures if they're in the money, or we can always take profits and roll them out.
Perfect. And if the cash market is coming ahead, they'll let them do exactly what they're supposed to do. Give you the courage to go ahead and sell into a summer rally in the cash market.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Absolutely. Fantastic. Man, I enjoyed that. Thank you, Allison. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Allison Thompson, The Money Farm. All right, Davis and I will be right back.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Thanks for perching on our fence. I think roost, really, though.
Roost.
Although, well, maybe you perch during the day, but then they roost at night. Is that how that goes?
I mean,
perching is just sort of, okay, I'm just kind of hanging out here.
Right, right.
But roost sounds like a substantial, like, move, you know, like a life decision.
Yeah, you're there for a while.
Right, right.
If you're roosting.
Roosting.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not
I get
bad.
It. Yeah.
Well, thanks for being here, everybody. It's AgriTalk on a Thursday afternoon. Davis Michelson with Chip Flory, of course. Allison Thompson from The Money Farm. Bro, it's wild in these swing acre states, man. Anything can happen. Dude.
Yeah. But absolutely. And you know, here we are, the 4th of April, and I was asking the question, is there still some room to move some acres around? It's things change, and it's weather. She said it flat out. You know, you would, for the most part, they've made the decision of what the acres are going to be.
Right.
But if something comes in and, well, let's put it this way. If things clear off starting next week and fields get fit and they start planting, they're probably going to plant more corn and spring wheat acres than oil seeds.
Mm-hmm.
They might back off on the oil seeds. Now, if things get delayed, that's going to move some acres around again. So it's still a moving target in North Dakota and up in the Red River Valley.
Yeah.
It's still a moving target, but it's going to be weather-driven, not so much market-driven.
Well, and Pro Farmers' findings in their acreage survey would collaborate with what she's got to say here.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've been very concerned that people are putting too much stock in future domestic demand for oil seeds, biodiesel, SAF, all that sort of stuff. You know, I was glad to hear Allison kind of address that. What it sounded like to me was she's saying, look, you know, make basis, prove it. Tell us how bad you want these beans and we'll plant the acres. But we're not ready to commit just yet to an explosion in soybean acres. There's some catch up that needs to happen in the meantime.
Definitely. And the thought running in the back of my mind as Allison was talking about that mm-hmm. was, doggone it, if we still had a quote unquote strong export program
mm-hmm.
into China for those beans up in the Northwest, where the rail basis mm-hmm. Out to the PNW was really pretty doggone good for a while. If that was still in play, you'd be looking at the potential for a super hot market
yeah.
on basis up there. If you start getting the rail bid against what's expected to be expanded and is expanded crush capacity up there.
Yeah. Allison really didn't seem interested in acquiring any downside protection. It felt like she said it herself, she's having a hard time being bearish right now.
Yep. Don't spend a lot of money on the downside price protection.
Well, yeah, and the idea, get some working orders in and freaking forget them.
Yep.
If we need to, we can reevaluate after planting season. Yep. I love that.
Yeah.
That gives me peace of mind in the meantime. Yeah, I'm doing something. I have an opportunity to participate. And yet, if I need to reevaluate later, I can do that. That's awesome.
Yeah. 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 Take care of it now so that you don't have to take care of it later. And I'm going to say another one that I've used many times over the years, and that is be there before the market gets there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get those price orders in place. Once you've got them set, they're there for a reason. And most likely that reason is because it may not be the best price, but it's an acceptable price.
There you
and
go.
if it is an acceptable price, be prepared to take it when you get there.
Yep. Because, I mean, ultimately you put together enough strings of acceptable price moves here, and you can farm next year, too, if you do it right.
Congratulations.
That's the idea. You get to do it all over again.
Right. Love it.
Yep. But inflation, still on the table. She's not taking inflation off the table by any means.
You know, and it's become a reoccurring theme on the show this week, hasn't it?
It really has.
And I think it's because, oh, geez, I didn't even realize. The WTI crude oil market today, was it trading higher when the show started?
I believe
maybe
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's more than a buck higher, a barrel higher right now.
Yeah.
You got the May contract up at 86.57. I thought the Biden administration said it's too expensive. We're not going to refill the SPR.
Well, they bought like 2 million gallons or something like that at 79, I think I read somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But then backed away from the market,
right.
And here it is. It's driving on up to the – you mean, huh, there's other influences, like OPEC not producing as much. And
I believe I would have gotten this covered a long time ago if it was me.
Oh,
but maybe that's why I don't get to be president. You know, that could be. Maybe something I don't know.
Maybe it's why you should be president.
Oh, no. Oh,
let's
no.
Let's get that write-in effort started, huh?
Oof, I don't want any part of that mess. I already got a job.
Come on.
I already got a job.
You got two or three.
If I was unemployed, I would think about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that'd make you very qualified. You'd have some experience then.
I'd be the perfect candidate.
You'd be perfect. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook, April 10th through the 14th. Above normal temperatures expected over the entire Corn Belt. And then on the precipitation side, we've got below normal precip expected southern North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, northern Kansas, northwest Missouri, western Iowa, and southern Minnesota for the most part. A narrow band of near normal precip along the river in Iowa, and then above normal precipitation expected in the eastern Corn Belt. So a mixed bag on the precip, dry in the west, above normal in the east, but warm temperatures across the Corn Belt. Come back tomorrow morning, free for all. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, and me here on AgriTalk.